The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bear Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A pleasant good evening to you. Bears All Access, live from the Score Downtown Studios in Chicago, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Tom, you've been watching minicamp all this week. They got one more day up at Hallis Hall tomorrow. What stood out to you so far?
Speed, enthusiasm, and the pace that they're going through practices. I think it's nice to challenge every one of these players to go through practice so quickly, change the things that they're thinking about, whether it's special teams, offensive, focus period, defense, whatever, and then to challenge these guys to see if they're remembering and filtering the information. So I just like now, after a few weeks of using this system, the defense is playing a lot faster than it did OTA number one.
Tom, Jim, we're joined now by Bears quarterback Jay Cutler here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jay, give us your take on what's happened so far in minicamp.
Just running a few plays, seeing if they work.
Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
We'll touch on it from that perspective, Jay. Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you again, my friend. Just year two in the system, where the offense can grow, where it can get better, because obviously you guys got to feel pretty good having that foundation from a year ago.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. I mean, we have a foundation, so we're not back at square one, which is nice. You know, we're not learning things for the first time. We're not trying to learn formations. We're past that. So, you know, we're trying to figure out exactly what we liked from last year and how to build on that, how to expand from there, putting guys in different positions, experimenting a little bit. So it's nice to be able to come into the off season and be able to work on, getting better from the year before, not trying to learn something completely new.
You know, Jay, you have such an impressive display of weapons once you break the huddle and get to the line of scrimmage. The first play on one of the 7-on-7 periods of the day, you unleash a huge bomb to Brandon Marshall over the top of the DB, and it goes for another long gain. Is it hard to get him out of your mind, even though you have so many weapons at the line of scrimmage, after you know the play called and you see the defense?
You know, it's hard. I think we do a good job of moving guys around, and Brandon knows that there's going to be some plays where he's going to have to pull some coverage out of the way, or he's going to have to run off, or he's going to be the flat guy, or he's going to be the second guy to the party. So he does a good job with it. It's still hard, a little bit harder for me if we do catch man-to-man, and I know Brandon's got a winner of going away from him. But, you know, with Alshon the way he's playing, and Marty and Matt Forte, and, you know, even 10, the young kids, has had a really good camp. So we got a lot of guys that one-on-one are tough to deal with.
Visiting with Bears quarterback Jay Cutler here on Bears All Access, how do you keep everybody happy?
You don't. It's hard. There's going to be days where, Brandon didn't get enough touches, or Alshon didn't get enough touches, or, you know, Marty didn't get his balls, or Matt didn't, we weren't getting Matt ball enough. But, you know, those guys, they do a good job. They understand the bigger picture here, and, they're kind of their own fraternity. As long as one of them is making it happen, I think as a group, they'll be happy.
Well, that's a good thing. Now you just got to come up with the excuses and hopefully get them going for the next play. But I want you to talk specifically about the quarterback room at Hallis Hall, Jay. I believe Mark Trestman puts a great emphasis on that room. But obviously, with McCown moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how is it shaping up with Jimmy Clausen, Jordan Palmer, and young drafted David Fales?
Got a lot of guys. Got a lot of guys in the room, and unfortunately, there's just not enough reps for everybody to kind of go around. So some guys get two reps, some guys get three reps at a time, and it's just tough right now with those guys because like I said, there are limited reps, and those guys are competitors and they want to get in there. But I think they're all doing a great job of learning the offense, doing exactly what Cav and Tress want them to do. Executing the offense, getting the line of scrimmage, spitting out the call. I remember whenever we first started this last year, the hardest part, was just spitting out the call. Kind of once you got to the line, you could figure it out. So they're doing a good job with all that. you know, how to shake out. I don't think we know that yet until we get to camp and get in some preseason games and get some live bullets.
You know, Jay, in the Green Bay game to end the season last year, you threw a ball to Marquise Wilson in traffic. He made a nice catch, and he stayed on his feet. And then last segment, you referred to him still as number 10. When does he earn you calling him Marquise Wilson, and how can he earn that?
He has. You know, I think Q's done a great job this offseason. He was down in Florida with us, with Brandon. You know, I threw to him down there. He's gotten strong in the offseason. He's taking it all in. I think he's doing a good job of fitting in with the guys. You know, he talks. He does more listening than he does talking, which is fine with the group that we have. But I'm excited for him. How many balls he'll get this year, that's to be determined. But I know that when his number's called, he'll make the play for us.
Every newspaper in Chicago today talked about how you're a changed man. We can hear in the background, you're a father. That makes you a changed man, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's bath time right now, so... You know, it's man-to-man defense here now that we have two. So Kristen's got the little guy, and I've got Camden. So it's bath time now. I think he's trying to sing for you guys. Hey, are you singing? Are you singing? Yeah, okay.
Well, that's good. Continue to coach him up. That's a lot of fun, Jay. When you talk about, you know, just the offense and where it can go and all the weapons that you have and things like that, you know, you always like to go up to line of scrimmage and have answers. You and I have talked about audibles before. How much flexibility is there now with where this offense can go in year two?
I think the coaches do a great job of educating the guys of why we run certain plays. You know, they whenever a play is called, they pretty much everyone knows you know, what coverage we're looking for, who's going to get the ball, who's the second choice, and what coverage we don't like against it. So. You know, if we do catch a bad coverage, they sometimes know just as quickly as I know that, you know, we need to get out of this and we need to get to something better. So there's a lot of leverage. You know, Trust, one of his biggest things is don't waste plays. And, you know, by not wasting plays, you have to sometimes get to some different plays if the front or the back end, you know, kind of directs you that way. So that's a big emphasis. And, I think second year in the offense gets easier doing that because, you know, first year you're just trying to figure out your job and figure out, you know, the best way to do that. So second year, you can kind of start concentrating more on the defense and getting yourself into better plays.
He's a father. He's a quarterback. He's multitasking with us. Jay Cutler here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score's Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. And you mentioned all the weapons. Can they play volleyball?
I don't really want them to play volleyball.
And you know the reason I'm asking. There's a big event. You brought it up at your press conference yesterday, but for people who might have not listened, what's happening on July 18th?
You've got the information, right? What's the information? I'm giving bath time right now.
The information is that Jay is holding a volleyball event on North Avenue Beach, July 18th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., partnering with Tommy Bahama. And teams can be up to 10 players with one female, 6 on the court at once. Teams cost $1,000 for the entry fee, as little as $100 per person. And there's more information available on jcutler6.com/events. But the real cool thing here is that all the proceeds benefit your foundation to help kids with type 1 diabetes, including funding diabetes, focused summer camps, and college scholarships. And here's the kicker, guys. This is what's amazing. And if you want to know how Jay has changed, the winner, this isn't the entire team that wins, right?
Yeah.
They get a one-of-a-kind Tommy Bahama trophy and dinner with you?
Yeah, we're going to go to dinner afterwards. So it should we'll see who wins. You know, they get to pick where they – well, I'll give them a choice of where they want to go, and then we'll go from there.
You know, there's a lot of great players here on the beaches of Chicago. The Division I national championship team was Loyola University this year, right up the shore in Chicago. So you're going to go down there and find a lot of great players. You know, Jay, there's a lot of noise in the background, and you guys are putting noise in at practice. What does that do more for the defensive communication, or does that do more for you guys when you get into your cadence and help the communication offensively?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, we're going to play home and away games. And, you know, when we're on the road, we play, you know, that third preseason game, we go to Seattle. So we're going to be tested pretty early, you know, arguably the loudest stadium in the NFL. So just getting through our silent counts and being able to give hand signals and just getting the play called in the huddle. You know, sometimes that stuff gets difficult in the noise, and, you know, guys think they hear something, they don't hear something. So just making sure we're all on the same page through the noise is good for us.
Well, Jay, we started the show, and Tom was talking about just the defensive speed he has seen out there. I know since you've arrived in Chicago, you've been facing this pretty good defense for a long time in practices when you go against each other. But what have you noticed differently about this year's team defensively?
You know, we got a bunch of new guys. We got some guys that have a lot to prove. We got some guys that are hungry, and we got some veteran guys that just know how to play football. So it's a good mix of young and old. I think Mel and his guys on defense are doing a good job. You know, just talking to defensive players, they say they're coaching them hard, and you know they're trying to get them ready for this season. So it's exciting to go against those guys that are very determined, and it's a competition every day. You know, we're going ones on ones. And, you know, they're flying around. We got a lot of speed. We got some guys that can run at the linebacker position. You know, some new DBs that are playing well. And I think our defensive front is going to be much improved with Jared and Willie and Lamar and some of the guys. You know, Jay Ratliff looks really good. He's back healthy. So we got some guys that are proven football players.
And there's a quiet confidence when you talk, not just to Jay, but the rest of the team, because of some of the names that he just mentioned. If you want more information on Jay Cutler's volleyball event on July 18th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Avenue Beach, go to jcutler6.com/events. Our final few moments here with the Bears quarterback. You mentioned
Jay Cutler, S-I-X. I guess someone has Jay Cutler 6 the number out there.
So let me
give that up.
Let me repeat, jcutler6.com/events. Now, our final few moments here with the Bears quarterback, and something that I wanted to hit on. You mentioned this yesterday, Jay, about how, you know, there are some things that you did early on in your career, like anyone that might be foolish, and you've grown up from that. What were those things? How have you evolved as, were you talking about as a person or as a football player?
I think everything. You know, when you're young, you know, you're coming out of college, and, you know, you think sometimes you think you're invincible. You know, you can go out late at night, you can come to work, you know, you might be as dedicated as you should be. You know, personally, you're probably a little bit immature, and you know, you haven't grown up into your responsibilities and your roles. So it's a handful of things, and you know, some people get it right away, some people have to go through a few trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, we've got a great group of guys down at Hallis. I think Phil and his guys have done an unbelievable job putting this team together, and everyone meshes well, and everyone has each other's back. So it's an exciting time to be a Chicago Bear.
You know, Jay, when you see the consistency you have, not only with the offensive coaching staff, the players, and in the locker room offensively for the most part, and as you mature, do you feel like there's more responsibility as you see some kids that are considered young now, or is it something like there's other programs in place inside that locker room to take control of a player if he's not on that right track?
No, I mean, great question, but I think that we have programs, but I think there's a lot of ownership in that locker room with the veteran guys of being able to grab a guy and say, hey, you know, I saw you do this, can I help you out? And I think we've reached out to the young guys enough that if they do have a problem outside the building, there's enough support that they can ask guys, because, you know, you look down the roster and we've got some guys who have kind of been through it all, you know, have been traded, have been free agents, have you know, been on teams for, like, Peanut and Lance have been on teams their whole career. There's been ups and downs. There's Pro Bowl players, there's Super Bowl winners. So there's if something's happening outside the locker room, there's a good chance that someone in the locker room has been through it and it can help these young guys out. So I think we've expressed enough to these guys that you know, reach out, ask one of us if I don't know the answer, or Jared or somebody else doesn't know the answer, we'll find the answer for you.
Last one for me, Jay, because I think you made some great points right there in what we're talking about. And, man, you're still so young in your career. But, I mean, how do you put it in perspective for you? Are you hungrier now? Is it just more professional? I mean, what is it? Because you still have so much of a ceiling that you can reach because you're young, but you're so experienced from that standpoint.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in a really good program in Denver with Mike Shanahan and the guys, and had a great upbringing those first 3 years, and then came here, and, you know, it's nice to get with Tress and Phil Emery and watch them build this team and be in the second year of it and be able to grow. you know, at times I feel young, at times I feel old. It's kind of a mixed bag right now. But I'm just happy that, like you said, we've got some guys coming back in the system, and we're moving forward, and we're not back at ground zero yet. So, you know, we're not 5 years into it, but I'll take 2 years, that's for sure.
Hey, year three in Denver with essentially the same people around you, you did make the Pro Bowl, right?
Yeah. You know, I went to the Pro Bowl. Brandon was in the Pro Bowl, so we had a few linemen in the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, we had some guys that could play football, and it's very – I mean, I think we have more talent now. Actually, I know we have more talent now with our offensive group. So it's a fun group to be with. We all get along. We all push each other every day. There's a lot of talent in that huddle.
The website for Jay Cutler's charitable volleyball event – partnering with Tommy Bahama, July 18th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Avenue Beach. Register at www.jcutler6, that's SIX.com/events. And what did you think about the coverage of you being a changed man? Do you agree with the stuff that's been written? Do you think too much is being made of you being a different guy now?
I haven't. I have no idea even what you're talking about, to tell you the truth. I do the press conference, and then that's it. You know, we don't really have newspapers around anymore, and, you know, I'm busy enough as it is when I get home. So I don't really pay much attention to it. If there's a problem, you know, the RPR guys and Jim will let me know, but I don't pay a lot of attention to it, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you for taking some time to talk to us, especially busy with the kids. And a very good job, by the way, of keeping Cam on the down low after the initial singing episode.
Yeah, I gave him some more toys. Cam, you want to say bye? Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff. Jay right, Cutler
thank
and,
you, Jay.
And his oldest kid, Cam, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's take a timeout. A lot to react to when we come back with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. More next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. See the Chicago Bears gear up for the first time at Soldier Field this year. Tickets on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit ChicagoBears.com to get tickets. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. What a pleasant visit with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, it was. He's you know, every time you hear him talk, you know, take the mic, whether it's after the game or in the week of preparation, He's very good in front of the mic. You know, is he comfortable? I don't know, but he is really good for what he has to say.
Well, we know this, Jim, that his son Cam is very comfortable in front of the mic.
Singer.
Well, there's no doubt. Well, I just think, you know, we're all different at, you know, in our 20s to our 30s, and now for me in my 40s, you grow up, you mature, you learn a lot of things. I think Mark Trestman has been a good influence on Jay, and I think, you know, even just looking at different ways to be a leader. And as I mentioned, Jay's kind of in those crossroads right now where he comes with a lot of experience, but he hasn't reached the heights that he can reach. I think he's a hungrier player right now with where he's at in his career. He's in a very comfortable spot, and it just seems like his focus is much better than what it's been in the past.
Considering the talent that is now around him as well as the entire offensive coaching staff, where do you think you'll see the biggest growth in Cutler as a player?
Well, I just think he'll be a more vocal leader. I just think, you know, there are different ways to lead on a football team, and Tom can speak to this as good as anybody. Attitude is everything. You got to come to work every day with a great attitude. And I think that those were some issues in the past. I think he's beyond that. I think his attitude's great, his focus is great, and he's the key man. When you talk about a face of the franchise, it starts and stops with the quarterback position. It's such a quarterback-driven league. And I just think where he's at right now, he understands that. He has matured in a lot of ways, and it's for the good, not only to become a better football player and leader in that building, but off the field as well.
Well, Jim, let me, on sort of the same vein, I want to ask you a question about the other quarterbacks, because we've talked so much about Jay. When I'm sitting there watching the other quarterbacks and their preparation, where is the difficulty for a young quarterback? Is it understanding the terminology that just came out of your mouth and how it fits? Or is it looking at the defense, the position they're in, and how what you said fits against the defense? I'm trying to get a picture on how to watch the backup quarterbacks both trying to learn the system and then play against the defense that they're seeing.
Well, I laugh, Tom, because if you remember last year at the first training camp practice, I remember Coach Trestman yelling at Jay because, like he said, it was a struggle for him to call the play, spit it out, and get guys out of the huddle. And I remember Mark Trestman's exact words. It was, hey, Jay, it's not a symposium. It's a play call. Get it going. You know, and so I somewhat laughed because he was trying to put the pressure on the quarterback. Hey, understand what you're calling. Get it up there. Get it organized and run it. And I think Jay's been through it where he knows it inside and out now. For these young guys, that's going to be their challenge, is understanding what exactly is this play call that's being sent into me, what the coach is asking to be executed. And that can change from the huddle to the line of scrimmage. And from what you see, that's why I got into a little bit of the audible question. Hey, this play is going to work against this coverage. It's not going to work against this other coverage, and we better have an answer. So you better have a good understanding of everything that you're being asked to do. So it is a challenge just to call it, but it's a challenge to understand. I call it the entirety of the play, because even the entire play could change with where this offense is going.
What amazes me is how it changes you after the ball is snapped. If we're an offensive lineman and we're going through drills against other offensive linemen, you have confidence in coming off the ball. And then now when you're going against live fire and you're going against a defensive lineman that can slap you, arm over, do all these different moves, you come off the ball and you miss them completely. That's, you know, that's the one thing that we all try to protect against. But, you know, the quarterback, there's so much going through their mind that you see them go through a drill where they're just throwing simple passes and you see their throwing motion is perfect 100% of the time. And then you see them put out all this verbiage in the huddle, go to the line of scrimmage, look at the defense, and there may be a hesitancy in their throw or just a little bit less loft than they need to. Is that just something you overcome and you start throwing the ball more confidently the better you learn the offense?
Absolutely, because I think you nailed it right there. You're going to play faster the more confident that you are, when you're understanding what the information you're processing and what you're being asked to do. And a lot of that is just going out and doing it, you know, because a lot of times for young quarterbacks, you know, when you start get under center and you call the play or the snap count and you drop back, do I trust that, you know, I read this as cover three. Is it cover three? Am I reading it correctly? Do I trust what I'm seeing? And a lot of times for young quarterbacks, they don't trust it nor have the confidence and what they're seeing. A lot of it is just learning it, you know, going through, knowing all your coverages, knowing what blitzes you're seeing, knowing the defensive front, and also what your responsibility for every single teammate you have on offense. And if you're confident in that, you feel like you're Teflon going up to that line of scrimmage. If you know what your material, there's not going to be any bullet holes that are going to be shot through you, because you're going to be as solid as can be, trust what you see, and have the confidence to go out and execute it every single play.
If you missed our interview with Jay Cutler, remember that Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at chicagobears.com, and the full show, including the interview with Jay Cutler, will be on later this week on chicagobears.com. It's a day at Arlington that any Bears fan won't want to miss. Get autographs from Bears legends, pose with the 85 championship trophy at Bears Day this Sunday, June 22nd. Tickets at arlingtonpark.com. When we come back, talk about the defense, which is the biggest issue heading forward to the 2014 season on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. And this week, the show goes south of the border as Anthony Adams and Jordan Mills search for the tastiest tacos in Cabo.
Love tacos.
So does Jim. I without even hearing him, I know there's absolutely no way Jim Miller doesn't love tacos.
Does Jim want Pamani Brothers or tacos?
Tacos sounds good, but here's what I'll say. Why is it, Tom, I can always count on you? I mean, how did you know that, Loyola was the national champs for volleyball? How do you know about all these beach, whether it's volleyball or good eating like that, like tacos on the beach? Perfect.
Because the head coach of Loyola used to come down, or comes down to the beach a lot and plays beach volleyball. And so a lot of us people down there that play have taken a real interest in his program. And he's taken the small university. He's done an unbelievable job of recruiting and won the national championship this year over Stanford. And just, should deserve the credit because it's such a huge feat. It's a Hoosiers-type feat in terms of volleyball and where it's at.
Well, that's pretty impressive, but I know you know about the beach activities, so it didn't shock me that right. You knew that, much like tacos are impressive as well.
Yeah, he is an international man of mystery. There's no question about it. Let's talk a little bit about the defense, because both Mel Tucker and Mark Trestman spoke to the media today after the mini camp practice, and the big thing that we learned today is there has been a heavy emphasis at Halas Hall to create a culture of toughness on the defensive side of the ball. And Trestman has brought in some of the Bears greats from yesteryear, from Mike Ditka to Mike Singletary to Gale Sayers, Otis Wilson, to talk to the team at several points this offseason about reinforcing what it means to be a Bear on the defensive side of the ball. The fact that you have to do that, I mean, you would think that when you have veterans like Jared Allen and Lamar Houston and Willie Young and Lance Briggs and Peanut Tillman, that you have to be tough to succeed the way these guys have.
Yeah, but it's got to be a point of emphasis, because last year at the end of the season they weren't very tough mentally or physically, and that's an obstacle they have to overcome. And now when you're trying to put in new free agents, that you're trying to surround the team and build the camaraderie, it's important. And toughness can come not necessarily from your front seven, but your back four. And if you look at some of the safeties around the league in San Francisco, in Tampa, in St. Louis, and in Pittsburgh, Palmolive, and stuff, some of their toughness is because of the safety position. And I think that's a point of emphasis when you listen every day in practice, where they do have to get tougher. They have to be able to come up and be more defensive, quality defensive against when they throw the ball against them. But when they're going to run up the middle and they're going to get to that second and third level, there's got to be a safety on this team that comes up and lights that running back up to keep his excitement of getting through the middle of the defense and try to push him towards the edge.
Yeah, I think Tom nailed it right there, because you could definitely see that the seed of doubt was firmly planted in the defense towards the end of the season. They didn't trust one another, and they didn't play tough because they didn't play with confidence. You got to be accountable. Everybody, we've just talked about it on offense. It's got to be the same way on defense, and I'm sure when you bring in old-school veterans like Otis that'll talk about, hey, I could count on the man next to me, that he was going to do his job, and I was going to do my job, and I wasn't going to be the weakest link that was going to let the team down. And so when you play like that, all 11, not just all 11, all 53 in that locker room, you're going to be tough to beat, because you know you're tough because you're a football team, and it's tough to beat a football team.
Zach Zabeman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So let's go in depth on the safeties from what we've seen so far. With the first team almost exclusively now, we're seeing Ryan Mundy as the strong safety, meaning he's closer to the box. He's that big thumper that you talked about in terms of going after the running back, Tom. And then Brock Vereen, the fourth rounder, the rookie out of Minnesota, is almost exclusively getting the first team reps at free safety. What do you make from what you've seen of him on the field?
I like the communication of the defense. And when I talked in the Jay Cutler segment about them playing noise at practice, and a lot of that is for the defense as much as he said it is for the offense. And when you look at the ability for Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman, the linebackers, to be able to communicate with some young defensive backs to make sure they're in the right position, that's the key here. You have to know that you can play defensive back in the NFL against these receivers because you're in the right position. And that's what I've seen out of the young guys, both Fuller and Brock Vereen, because Fuller's getting a consistent amount of reps too up there. So I like the fact that Brock Vereen has already showed the coaches that they can have faith in him to try to rely on him to be that starter. That says a lot for his preparedness coming in here, OTAs, now into minicamp.
I believe that. I agree. One, you want to see what these guys can do. This is really their evaluation. You know, guys like M.D. Jennings, Craig Steltz, he's been there. He understands football at the pro level. Brock Vereen is getting a good education right now. You got to understand and evaluate what he can handle, where his mistakes are, how quickly can he learn from those mistakes, what type of coaching does he respond to. Is he getting better every single day? Those type of things. You want to find those things out. And they'll find out a lot more once the pads are on as well. But obviously, if he's showing up, you can probably build on that, keep on adding more things for Brock Vereen, and that goes for Kyle Fuller as well. This is really the time to do it.
Now, keep in mind, if you want an inside look at both Kyle Fuller and Brock Vereen on the practice field, go to ChicagoBears.com, because it's got the rookie minicamp series. And it really is a true inside look at what happens. You know, coaches are mic'd, players are mic'd, and you get to hear the kinds of conversations that you can only hear if you're out there practicing with the guys. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 are already on the website. And then episode 4 goes up on Monday. Episode 5, the final one, will be Wednesday. So Inside Rookie Minicamp, going to be interesting stuff, I think, in terms of finding out about some of these young players who are going to be asked to do a lot this upcoming season. When we come back, your chance to talk to us. Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Rapid fire questions from you to Tom Thayer. Jim Miller is the judge. Best caller at the end of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of former Bear Jim Miller. Again, 312-644-6767, the phone number for Ask Tom. Light them up. Your call's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And it's time for one of our favorite segments on the show, Ask Tom. Rapid fire phone calls from you asking questions to Tom Thayer in regards to anything in the world of football. And then at the end of the segment, we usually go about 10 minutes, right? At the end of it, Jim Miller, who stays quiet, just taking notes throughout the segment, picks a winner, and that best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You ready, Jim?
Let's go.
All right, let's begin the festivities. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom begins in Joliet with John. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, John. Hello, fellas, real quick. The blocking scheme for offensive linemen, I've often wondered this. When the guard pulls, the tackles come blocking down, who is the guard's responsibility? Who's ever in front of him? Is there going to be a backer? Is there going to be a safety coming up? Or is he just looking for somebody to knock down?
No,
I've often seen the guard pull, and I don't know what his responsibility is. So, real quick,
Good question, John. You have an exact responsibility every time. If you're a pulling guard in the offense and you're going to have a really wide play that goes all the way towards the sideline, you're going to take which is ever called the first force, and it could be a cornerback or it could be a safety, and it's a nice matchup that pulling offensive linemen like. But if you're going to run a play that's still going to be inside the interior of the box where the in between defensive end, you're most likely pulling around or folding around for inside an inside linebacker. But you never run out there with no assignment. Every single play, every single guy has an assignment.
Hey, real quick here before we go to our next caller, 312-644-6767. A bunch of new guys have been able to get some reps here over the last couple of days at minicamp, including Brian De La Puente, who came over from the Saints at guard. Michael Ola, former CFL player, time at tackle. What do you make of these guys?
You know, they're all of them. They're fighting for an opportunity, and no one is out of the mix. And Aaron Cromer has proved that early in camp last year by putting Jordan Mills and taking out Jamarcus Webb. So whether it's Eben Britton or a guy with a little bit of experience, every one of these guys are getting important reps, but you know they still got to beat out Kyle Long and Jordan Mills once training camp begins.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Ask Tom is the segment. A gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line for the best caller of the segment. Mike on the north side. Ask Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, real quick, do we have a better idea now of the defensive scheme for this year?
Yeah, I still think it's going to be a four-man front, but I think you're going to see a lot more aggressive play inside the box that we talk about, inside the defensive ends, a lot by the linebacker and in the safety. They're going to be near to the line of scrimmage. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to rely on defensive linemen to gain the penetration so the linebackers can have a seam created for them. So, again, the aggressiveness is there. If the defensive backs can fall in the line that give them a little pressure luxury, I think you're going to see a much more of an attacking front.
Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator today, talked about sub packages and how you have to have a whole bunch of them in the NFL today. In one of the sub packages, we've been seeing Jonathan Bostic with the nickel package at linebacker.
Right. You can start a sub package when you have a guy like Jared Allen who can win the corner almost every time and then start putting the other 10 players in a more aggressive position. But it does start with guys like Willie Young, Jared Allen, Lamar Houston, and such.
312-644-6767. The segment Ask Tom. At stake, gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Lucius in Bolingbrook. Ask Tom.
Hey, Lucius.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Quick question. Is it easier for an offensive player to be transitioned over to the defense, or is it easier for a defensive player to move over to the transition to the offense? The only person I can remember doing that for the Bears was Big Cat Williams going from the defense to the offense.
You know, that's a heck of a question. Let me tell you, Mark Bortz also did it. Mark Bortz, during our era, was an all-Big Ten defensive lineman a couple years in a row and came on to be a Pro Bowl a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. So the transition can be done, but it's recognizing the ability to make that switch. Whether you're talking about a guy like Jordan Lynch now, you have to have the desire to be a great football player, and that was the key element in Big Cat Williams, Mark Bortz, and now in Jordan Lynch.
Portage Park, James, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, yeah, James. With all the advanced metrics that come out and the fact you have all these companies now trying to grade offensive linemen, how legitimate of a grade do you think these are, considering they don't know blocking assignments, they don't know who's supposed to be helping or chipping, they don't know if a lineman ends up cheating over because, you know, let's say the tackle sees that the guard is missing a guy. So how legitimate are these actual advanced metrics when it comes to grading out offensive linemen?
James, that's a great question. I can't believe you're asking it, because I don't believe in any of the metrics that they're talking about in grading an offensive lineman, because everything you said, they don't know the snap count, they don't know their assignment, they don't know the play called and everything else that's involved. If someone next to him missed the communication where the combination block is screwed up. And one of those examples is Jordan Mills. I think he gave up one sack this year, and he was downgraded as one of the poor offensive linemen, which couldn't be farther from the truth. So, James, it's a good question, and I don't think that they have enough understanding of interior offensive line play to get the evaluation correct.
Four more contestants left here on Ask Tom on Bears All Access. Winner gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Sean in Geneva. Ask Tom.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom. Now that the draft is done and free agency is done and we're getting close to camp and everything, my question is, which of our divisional opponents do you think now poses the greatest challenge for the Bears this coming season?
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is bigger than the Green Bay Packers, and I hate to say that. I'm not insulting the Green Bay Packers. To me, I have so much respect for the ability of Aaron Rodgers and what he can do to make players better, whether it be an offensive lineman, running back, or a receiver like we've seen. To me, the one guy in the division that scares me most is Aaron Rodgers.
Over the last five seasons, two of those seasons have been ended because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
NFC Championship game, and everyone remembers what happened last year. Chuck in Schaumburg. Ask Tom.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, real quick, is there a way, or can you overload one side? Can you have five receivers on one side? Can you have four running backs in the backfield? I mean, can you do that, or is there a rule for the NFL to have certain people on one side or the other?
Well, yeah, you have to have a certain amount of guys in the line of scrimmage, and they have to be positioned correctly according to where your offensive tackle or your tight end is set. So to have these wild, crazy formations, you're probably more likely to see it out of a guy like Chip Kelly than you would out of Mark Trestman, because Mark Trestman is very precise and very specific about why he's called to play according to the defense he expects.
Down the stretch we go. A gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line here on Ask Tom. We go to Indiana. Jim, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good, good.
So, Tom, when they start the game and they're kicking off, the kicker gets a running start. So I'm wondering, when you're trying an extra long field goal that might be out of the kicker's range, can they send the kicker in motion to get a running start to kick a longer field goal?
That's a good question, and I don't know the rule of if there are even a rule to apply to that, but I don't know if you can have forward motion of any player towards the line of scrimmage before the ball is snapped, and that's where he would need to start his momentum in order if he was going to time up the specific of the snap to the holder to the kick. It's such an exact science that there'd be no way that you would have just an honest read on the timing and how long you would need to protect.
It's not stump, Tom. It's ass, Tom.
312. Right. It's stumpy. That's a heck of a question, though, Jim.
That's really good question by all the listeners.
Hold on. We've got one more,
Judge.
One more.
Judge?
Spring Grove, Bob, you're the last caller. Last chance
to grab
that gift certificate to Sports Authority.
All right. Tom, do you think Jordan Lynch will have a legitimate chance of making this team? And if he does make the team, what would the Bears use him as?
Well, I think that, you know, the importance of the fourth phase these days in special teams, and I asked Joe DeCamillis yesterday, does Jordan have the athleticism to go out there and compete on special teams? And he gave a definite yes. Now, if he goes over the techniques and the fundamentals and the struggles he'll go through and get that technique down, that's going to increase his chances even more. Today, I saw him in regular offense, and he got a handoff from the quarterback and was able to cleverly cut it up through the defense with great instincts and the innate ability to see how the play is going to be blocked. So I think Jordan Lynch can come in here, compete at an NFL level, contribute offensively, but most certainly early in his career, he's going to have to be a special teams contributor.
All right, time to pick a winner. Judge
Jim. Good
luck,
Judge Jim.
I know, this is a tough week in terms of the callers. All great questions. I thought about giving it to John from Joliet, but right up Tom's alley was Lucius from Bolingbrook, who asked about the grades of the offensive linemen. Tom is right. These guys don't know out there. They don't know the blocking schemes that these guys are asked to do, so Lucius wins the steak dinner.
And you had an opportunity to experience this, maybe not as much back in your day because you didn't have the media, Tom, that we have today where every little thing gets identified on all these websites. But did you ever feel as though people would blame you for things that you were not responsible for?
No, one time I did read an evaluation in Pro Football Weekly, and they called me moody. The guy gave me a poor evaluation because he said I was moody, which I agree with 100%, especially when I was playing. And so I did go up to help, and I said, hey, what are you doing? Call me moody. That's an evaluation. And it was the dearly departed Joel Buschbaum that said that about me. But I had never met him, but he must have heard, man, that guy's a moody guy in the locker room. So, hey, it's all part of it. And again, that was a good question because I don't agree with the evaluations that are putting offensive linemen through when they don't know the material that is required for them to get the job done.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you about something that Jay Cutler said earlier this week when he was asked about all the different backup quarterbacks. And, you know, it's no secret that he was very close to Josh McCown, and they had the kind of bond that I think you need. It starts with trust, but Cutler was saying that, you know, a backup quarterback has to be a psychologist. You have to have the ability to tell the starting quarterback when he's doing something wrong that he's doing something wrong, but you also have to have the patience to have that starting quarterback yell back at you when he's frustrated. Now, you were on both sides of it, as a starter at times, as a reserve quarterback, and you've worked with some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What's it like? How challenging is that job of being the number two?
I think you have to be a good listener. You have to have no ego at all. You've got to be a great teammate. And it's all for the good of the team. And I think Jay's mature enough to understand that. Josh McCown certainly is, because we know about his career and how he's bounced around the NFL. And so you have to be pretty humble. But, yeah, to have that sounding board, it takes a special individual to do it. It is not an easy position to be a backup quarterback, even though you're not out there getting all the reps and the snaps, but how you're asked to perform at a moment's notice. So, obviously, McCown was tremendous last year because he's a very unselfish, good teammate and a great individual, and that's why they had that great relationship. But it's nice to have that sounding board.
You know, I think Matt Kavanaugh does a great job because he's not necessarily a sounding board, but he's got a great personality to work with the different personalities that all the quarterbacks he's got on the practice field. And I think that's important because you guys walk into a room, the first face you see every morning, you want it to be a guy that you're very accepting of what he's going to about to tell you. And that's the same thing goes with Coach Dick Stanfield, my offensive line coach. You knew exactly what he was going to tell you pertaining to your next opportunity was going to be exactly what you needed to hear.
Man, this was...
We're done?
Yeah, it flew by, didn't it?
Sorry, Jim.
Goes quick, man. And can we bring back Stump Tom? I got him a couple weeks ago, Zach, when you took off.
I like it.
Sorry about that setup, Tom.
For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer and our cast of thousands, Rick Camp, Joe Ostrowski, Jim Padgett. We've got so many different people to say thank you, including the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler. I'm Zach Zabeman saying thank you for listening to us. We're back next week. Another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.